How would you like to attend a conference and hear Rod Rosenblatt, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, Al Schmidt, Suzanne Venker, and Todd Wilkin? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Got a lot of listener response to what we broadcast here on Issues Etc. We love the listener response. It's part of what the show is. We broadcast, but our listeners respond. They have questions, they have comments. We like to reserve Friday afternoons for their questions, their comments, their show suggestions, and their criticism. Also for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week with some excellent guests and topics tucked in there between the two. That's the way this Friday is going to go on this March 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live. We're going to start with listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, two ways that our listeners respond. Then a tremendous conversation on probably one of the most important subjects in Christianity, the power of the Lord's Supper. Is the power of the Lord's Supper in your faith? Is it in your earnestness? Is it in your belief? Is it in the things you receive, just the bread or the wine? Is there power there? Where is the power of the Lord's Supper? Pastor Brandon Scott Jones will be our guest a little bit later in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. And then, as I mentioned, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We play four soundbites for you. You listen. And then it's your turn. You vote. You determine by your votes which one is going to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and we give away the LPR bundle package, which is an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and the Issues Etc. Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad to the listener with the best vote when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Now, you can vote in advance at our website, issuesetc.org, at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can wait to give us a call or give us a call anytime in the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. And speaking of email, we always like to do Friday email. Here on Issues Etc.
Begin with Catherine in New York. She says, because I've researched and written on the topic of Lutheran race relations, someone directed my attention to your recent program on African American Lutheranism. While the episode may have had good intentions, I am concerned that it did not accurately or fully address the history of Lutheran race relations. There are various points within the program that need further context and clarification. But I was also taken aback at the light and jovial tone of the program, which skimmed over the problem of racism in the church. The topic of race is a controversial issue and is difficult to deal with directly. Because of this, it can sometimes cause more damage than good to deal with this topic in a partial and incomplete manner. If you have programs on this topic in the future, I would encourage you to broaden your program to include a variety of perspectives. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening in New York, Catherine.
Well, it's certainly a good suggestion, although the topic of the conversation wasn't race relations. It was the history of African-American Lutheranism. While that certainly plays a part, and I think we did actually at length discuss in historical terms, because we're talking about the history, in historical terms, we did talk about the issue of both the discrimination against freed slaves and the issue of slavery before. We talked about it extensively. We didn't go into the civil rights era. That's a different subject and a perfectly good subject for another interview. We kind of want to stay within our guests' expertise, and our guest's expertise extended to the period of history that we were talking about. And he did not claim to be an expert in race relations in Lutheranism in America, so I don't want to overtax my guests asking them questions that they're not prepared to ask. If we can find a guest on race relations, we'll certainly give that a shot. Although I think it's probably best to, because what we were trying to do is say, basically answer the question, why are there so few African-American Lutherans in America. And we did that from a historical perspective. And I don't think the answer to that question is found in good or bad race relations. I think the answer to that is a historical question. What was the relationship of Lutherans in various congregations, various regions of the country, and he covered all of them, North and South, with African-Americans? I mean, can you say that there are more African-American Baptists because the Baptists have historically been better on race relations? I don't think you can. Not in the South. Can you? You can say, what was it that appealed to African-Americans about the Baptist Church in post-Civil War America? And I think we actually answered that question in the course of our conversation as well. But thanks for the feedback.
Yeah, hi. This is Mike from Kansas City, and I've got a little point of criticism for you all there. And please don't take this as me being angry or anything like that. This is just the way I talk. I have a problem expressing myself sometimes. Some people think I'm angry. I'm not angry. You guys are doing a great job. I appreciate the work you're doing. But the point of criticism has to do with the soundbite that you keep playing from one of your pastors that you had on the radio last week concerning the strong man. And in the soundbite, you say that after the person ties up the strong man, he does not keep it for himself. He gives the possessions away. Gentlemen, this is very confusing to the context of the story. In the context of the story, he doesn't do that. He doesn't give it away. He keeps it for himself. We are his treasured possessions, just like it says in Deuteronomy and Isaiah and alluded to in a couple of other places in Scripture. And the story itself is talking about possession. It's not talking about giving away. And I know Pastor Borghardt mentioned giving away salvation. I know that's what he's referring to. But my point is, I really think Pastor Borghardt let his enthusiasm get the best of himself there, because all this does is confuse people as to what the primary context of the story is. The primary context of the story is about possession. You were demon-possessed, and then the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, comes along, ties up the strong man, and takes over possession. We are his treasured possession. Now, this wouldn't be so difficult for me to take if it was just mentioned one time by Pastor Borghardt, but you guys keep playing that soundbite over and over and over again, and it really confuses people as to the primary context of the passage. The primary context of the passage is we are possessed by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. He does not give us away. And once again, Pastor Borghardt needs to tone down his enthusiasm a little bit. And you guys, I'm really surprised you keep playing this. You'd be better served to play Pastor Hemmer's response to Pastor Borghardt. Pastor Hemmer clearly stated, he does not give us away, that we are his possessions. I listened to the entire segment. It was very good, very good segment. Anyway, you guys are doing a great job. And please don't take this the wrong way. I hesitate to criticize you at all. So please show me some grace on this, will you? All right. Thank you very much. Bye.
We have no problem with you criticizing us, Mike. It's perfectly allowable. Let me see if I can clarify a couple things. First of all, he's talking about a pastor's roundtable that we did with Pastor George Borghardt and Pastor Jeff Hemmer sometime back on Luke chapter 11. The primary parable of our pastor's roundtable was the parable of the strong man, or that Jesus tells the story about the strong man who goes in and the stronger man arrives and binds the strong man and plunders his possession and his possessions. Now, first of all, speaking of context, the text does not talk about possession by demons. It talks about Jesus casting out demons. And the word, if you listen carefully to what Pastor Borghardt had to say there, the word that he's playing off of in his description of how the strong man gives the plunder, the booty of the less strong man away, and he tried to explain, it's difficult to do Greek on the radio, but he tried to explain that the word there for dividing the spoil or dividing up his possessions has as one of its roots to give. Now, I looked up the word. It does mean to share out, to give out, to pass out shares. That's what the word means. There's really no getting around it. It does not mean he kept it for himself. So I think Pastor Borghardt wasn't being driven by enthusiasm, although he is a rather enthusiastic individual, I will grant you that. He wasn't being driven by enthusiasm, but by the force of the text. And the force of the text most certainly is that, and it does defy kind of the traditional reading of the story, but you got to stick with the words of the text. And there in Luke chapter 11, verse 22, the word that he uses there for divide means to divide it amongst people, to share it out. And it does have at its root the word to give. Now, Pastor Borghardt might be operating with a less than sufficient knowledge of that word, but you kind of have to go with what the lexicons tell you. And I think he's on firm exegetical ground in making that point. Is it the only point you could make from the parable? No. I mean, that's the way parables go. You can often make more than one very valid point, but this one is based upon the actual word that Jesus chooses to use there. When the strong man comes in and has his possessions plundered by the stronger man does divide up his possessions. He does it. And so what do you do with that? Do you say he gives us away? No, I think Pastor Borghardt, again, not being driven so much by enthusiasm but by the force of the text, says what does Jesus divide up that he takes? He divides up, he gives out freely. Again, the root of the word is give. He gives out freely salvation to us. Now, as to the reason why we keep on playing it, we don't play it just to annoy people. We play it because it's part of our opening montage. Am I right, Jeff? It either is or has been part of the opening montage that we put together from the sound bites and various pieces of audio. And we usually play that for about a week until it gets a little stale, and then we replace it with a new montage early in a broadcast week, which we haven't done this week. I don't think we've been playing this one. We actually have dropped that montage for reasons other than Pastor Borghardt. We dropped that montage because it had something about the Pope before he was elected, and it's no longer timely. So we're not just playing it and playing it to get on people's nerves. We're playing it and playing it because it's part of the standard opening montage that we produce every week for Issues, etc. It changes about once a week, and Pastor Borghardt's section of that is still in there. I don't think you're going to be hearing that montage again for the other reason I stated. Thank you very much for the criticism. We come back, more email and the Issues, etc. comment line.
Higher Things assists in cultivating, encouraging, and promoting a distinctively Lutheran identity among their youth and young adults. To fulfill this mission, this summer, Higher Things has 3 conferences. You can find out more about these conferences at fromabove2013.org. The winter issue of Higher Things magazine is now available. This is a topical issue on church and state that you can read in its entirety on our website, higherthings.org.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues, Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are 4 levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
In this twist of plot that only, well, let's say a merciful God could invent, who gets the inheritance? The very people who were expected to be destroyed, us!
I was raised Catholic, and I remember my first communion, but I do not practice now. I'm ecumenical.
Before long, the churches started looking like revival meetings. Cancels were gone, pulpits were gone, baptismal fonts gone, Lord's table gone, because you had to have a stage for the evangelist personality and charisma.
If you're going to talk about theistic evolution, and the evolution you mean is the blind watchmaker's thesis, and the theism that you mean is classical Christianity, what is it that God actually did if he so-called used evolution?
In the last half hour of Issues Etc., we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. There's a little taste of the soundbites that we lay before you in advance so you can get ready to play and vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week.
This comes from Jeff. He listens in Philadelphia. Maybe I'm a little bit of a jerk, but something at the end of your discussion with Dr. Uwe Simonetto concerned me. He mentioned an old Roman Catholic lady catechizing with Protestants. He also mentioned a Roman Catholic priest who was involved in his anniversary celebration. What struck me was how we are in danger of compromising the gospel because secular society is against all expressions of Christianity. But I keep thinking about Paul being dead set against the Judaizers in the book of Galatians. And all they did was add circumcision to the gospel. Will we overlook Rome's problems because we have common cause with them on many social issues, or because most of society is or will be secular? I don't want to seem hypocritical because during my time in inner varsity in college, we had a number of Roman Catholic students who were in our group, and Dr. Simonetto didn't go into depth. For all I know, the Roman Catholics he interacts with have abandoned the Council of Trent. Still, I feel we must be on guard in this matter and not compromise the gospel. As a former Roman Catholic myself, I want Roman Catholics to get a clear gospel message and have people willing to tell them that they need to leave their church. Thanks for the email, Jeff.
This is a conversation we had with Dr. Uwe Simonetto. Was it yesterday, Jeff, that we talked with him? Time runs together for me. And first of all, we bring Uwe on to discuss these things as a lay theologian. He's also a world-renowned journalist. And so we were asking him to react to an LA Times story about the influence of Roman Catholicism in Europe and its waning influence in Europe. And so he was kind of doing double duty there, a lay theologian, which he's no small lay theologian. But its primary vocation, of course, is as a journalist. In the case of him talking about an old woman catechizing people in France, look, he's simply telling us what is. If old Roman Catholic ladies are the only one teaching any kind of catechism in French villages, which he says that was the case in the village where he has his home in France, that's just what is. You can't change that. Rome has errors, but old Catholic ladies may be the only ones teaching anyone the Christian faith there. And he was talking there about the dearth of priests. Now, that's connected with the other story he told, and that about the local priest who had some involvement in a celebration of his golden anniversary recently. And congratulations, by the way, to Dr. Simonetto and his wife in their golden anniversary. They celebrated there, and he said the celebration was done by his Lutheran pastor there, but the Roman Catholic, the local Roman Catholic priest also participated in the prayers. Now, that might mean he simply prayed there at the celebration of their 25th anniversary. That's how I took it. The guy showed up out of courtesy and offered a prayer in the course of that celebration. He wasn't talking about Sunday morning service. He wasn't talking about the divine service. He wasn't talking about a worship setting. He was talking about a Roman Catholic priest showing up for the celebration of a couple's anniversary and offering a prayer there. And that's where the connection of the dearth of priests came up. The guy said he was serving like 70-some-odd altars. So he was talking about the lack of priests there. And the broader point he was trying to make was, it's not just that Europe has abandoned the church. The church has abandoned Europe. They don't have enough priests to staff all the posts there. So if you listen consistently to Issues Etc., I think you will not walk away thinking that we somehow want to overlook Rome's errors. And I don't think that Dr. Simonetto's story about either his anniversary or about the old Catholic ladies catechizing Protestants in France was in any attempt on his part to overlook Rome's error, certainly not on our part either. So I don't think there's any reason for alarm there or any reason for concern there, at least from what Dr. Simonetto had to tell us.
This comes from Mark in Ogilvy, Minnesota. He says, is your program planned to carry any shows on the subject of the Newtown pastor, Connecticut pastor, and President Harrison, President Lutheran Church of Missouri, Senator Matt Harrison's handling the matter? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't recall a program covering the matter. I did, however, listen to one of your guests, Dr. Moeller, talk about the matter. If not, why not? Should President Harrison have used the official 20-year old dispute resolution process of the Synod instead of working behind the scenes? Was it appropriate for Harrison to have apologized for asking Pastor Morris for an apology? Does your open support for Harrison make it difficult for you to address this matter? I recall one of your taglines saying something like independent and in the black. In view of your open support for President Harrison, are you able to be truly independent when it comes to asking the sitting synodical president hard questions about his performance in office? You certainly went out of your way to talk about the previous president when your program became independent. You are well known for addressing the theological conflicts of other church bodies. I have learned much from those programs. Thank you. You do not, however, give much or any coverage to the theological conflicts in the Missouri Synod during the Harrison presidency. Why? If you were still with KFUO, I could see that being a reason, but you're not. You claim to be independent, so why haven't you addressed the conflict and blunders and confusing approaches in doctrine and practice of President Harrison as he leads the current Missouri Synod? I don't understand. Please enlighten me as to your rationale on this. Finally, since you have claimed repeatedly to appreciate receiving critical email, I look forward to your reply, writes Mark in Ogilvie, Minnesota.
All right. Well, look, we do. We do air all the critical, all that's fit to air on the air, all the critical email. A couple of things. First of all, we are independent. I don't know how much more independent we could be. We pay all our own bills. We don't get a penny from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I don't even have any standing except for on the roster through my call to the congregation. I'm not a part of their health plans anymore. I'm not a part of their retirement plans anymore. I don't know how more independent I could be except to resign my call from the congregation, which I will not do. So I think we're about as independent as you could possibly be. Have we avoided talking about this? No. Jeff, why don't you chime in here? Actually, right the day that we heard about the Newtown incident where a pastor in Newtown, Connecticut, who had lost a new parishioner in the Sandy Hook shootings, within about a day or two appeared on that televised interfaith, interreligious prayer vigil that included Barack Obama, and he was there to – he had a scripture reading and a benediction at the end. The very day that we heard about this, I walked into the office and I said, let's talk with Pastor Morris. And we tried. No, I'll let you pick it up there.
Yeah, and we never received a response to our request for an interview from Pastor Morris.
Okay, so – and it was multiple responses. Jeff is extremely diligent in trying to get interviews.
I wouldn't say multiple.
Several?
I'd say two.
Okay. Two requests for interviews, no response. While former President Kieschnick was chiming in publicly on this, we asked him if he'd like to come on the show. He politely refused.
His response, I'm reading the email. This is the previous president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, because he had become outspoken in favor of this pastor's participation. Mr. Schwarz, thank you for the invitation, which I respectfully decline. Dr. Jerry Kieschnick, President Emeritus of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
So we made attempts to contact the principal person who is involved in this, Pastor Morris himself. And now this was before Pastor Harrison had, as far as we know, made any effort to do anything. Now, again, much of the efforts he made were, in fact, behind the scenes. And so we didn't know at the time what he was doing. We didn't have any business knowing what he was doing, to tell you the truth. He's the president of Synod. I'm not. By the way, as to our outspoken support of Pastor Harrison, I completely own it. All right? I am an outspoken supporter of Pastor Harrison for all the reasons I've articulated many, many times. But that does not mean that we don't attempt to talk about this. Now, by the time the subject came back around, if I'm trying to get my chronology correct, Pastor Harrison had made a public statement about seeking an apology and asking those who might be inclined to level any kind of theological charges against Pastor Morris to desist from doing so, that he was trying to handle this in a pastoral way. I know exactly why he wanted to avoid – I'm speaking for myself. If I were in his shoes, why I would want to avoid the labyrinthine maze – I'm being redundant – of the dispute resolution process. There are several reasons. One, it very seldom, it's all process and no resolution very often. And number two, he didn't want to turn this into a federal case. If I were in his shoes, that's what I'd be saying. I don't want to turn this into a federal case. I want to deal with this man to man, pastor to pastor, synodical president to pastor. And he did. I think he followed an excellent procedure there. He did seek an apology. about a week later, after tremendous negative press, he did not apologize for asking for an apology. I would urge you to go to where President Harris has made all of his public statements on this, quite plain, the LCMS website. Go there, read all those public statements that he has made over the course of this entire incident, and I don't think you will find him saying, I apologize for asking Pastor Morris to apologize. What did he apologize for? He apologized for not anticipating what his first public statement would produce by way of negative press. That's what he apologized for, not anticipating the firestorm that would follow. And in that sense, that's the only thing that he's apologized for with regard to, quote-unquote, mishandling the situation. I do not, in fact, believe he mishandled the situation. Many disagree with me. I've spoken publicly elsewhere about this extensively. So, look, if any one of the principals want to talk to us about it, who actually know what actually happened and went on, we are all ears. We'll be right back. Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
I'm going to be making the case that postmodernity, rather than dying and going away, has actually become the default setting for the way people think in many of the churches today.
Chris Roseborough, on his presentation, Postmodernism in the Church, at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois.
As a result of it, it constitutes a significant threat against biblical, historic, Orthodox Christianity, because its epistemology is extremely irrational, subjective-based, and in fact, it's even a form of enthusiasm, God-withinism, that at the end of the day has as its project the eroding away and deconstructing of what historic Christianity teaches and confesses.
You can find out more about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois, at issuesetc.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Well, did you get my message? Ooh, did you get my message? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, the 15th of March. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. I told Jeff I didn't have anything more to say about it during the break, but I actually have one more thing, very important thing to say about Mark's email before, where he was saying, you know, are you guys really independent? Are you treating Matt Harrison with kid gloves? Are you avoiding the subject of the Newtown interreligious prayer vigil? And I think I sufficiently answered that before there, but part of the reason why you're not likely to hear us talk to Pastor Harrison about it is because he has publicly said that the principles of this event, Pastor Morris, his district president, I don't know which district it is, and then himself, the synodical president, they have agreed, the three of them together, to not publicly discuss this anymore. He has said they continue to work on it together, but they're not going to have any public statements to make, anticipated public statements to make anymore. And when someone says, I'm not going to talk about it publicly, we could certainly say, you want to talk about it publicly, but we know what the answer is going to be. So, yes, that's part of the reason why we'll deal with the issue. We'll even deal with the subject. I've just spent the last 25 minutes of radio time dealing with the subject of the Newtown Interfaith Prayer Vigil. And we'll deal with the issue of syncretism, which this was, in my judgment, an incident of syncretism. And I think Pastor Harrison's been quite clear on that as well. But as for, you know, getting Pastor Harrison on to talk about it, he said he's not going to make any more public statements. I think sometimes people think this radio show is whatever Wilkin wants to talk about, or that we have some magical ability to make people talk. We don't. People tell us no all the time.
We're just grateful we're able to get President Harrison on for a monthly 10-minute phone interview.
Absolutely. His time is, well, I don't think we're going to be getting him on for any monthly 10-minute interview for the foreseeable future. He's got a convention coming up. So, oh, by the way, happy birthday, Matt Harrison. Was it yesterday?
Sometime this week.
All right. I hope he had a happy birthday.
Come on, you guys are so close, you should know this. You guys are like BFFs.
No, not really.
You guys hang around together.
I've hung around with Matt Harrison a total of two times in my life. Well, I'll take about three times in my life. Then the cigar smoke kind of got to me. So I have a limited shelf life when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Paula says, you suggested that she's talking about you, Todd, suggested that we should analyze the series on the Bible on the History Channel this way. Does it only present the facts as the history of the Bible presents them? No. But does it tell you what they mean the way the Bible tells you what those events mean? No. You answered and said that, yes, they presented it as history, and this is the biggest positive, a positive which we may have missed. But I would say that since they presented it so terribly inaccurately, they actually undermine this very idea of the Bible being historical rather than mythological to anyone who is actually passingly familiar with Scripture or anyone who then becomes curious and checks out Scripture to verify the stories. So if that's the only positive, then it would seem that it's not really much of a positive. It strikes me as a bit like old earth creationists endeavoring to present Genesis as historical while fudging on the literal 24-hour day part and mixing in some evolution. It doesn't work, writes Paula.
Paula, thank you very much. Actually, what I said was that they approached it as history. I continue to do that. I commend the History Channel and the producers of the Bible series for approaching it as history. Did the end product present the historical facts? No, they failed. Their intention was to approach the Bible as history, as in contrast to most of the time you see the Bible presented on television. It is presented as legend, as half-truth. I didn't get any of that from the History Channel's installments so far. They're trying to approach it as history. They are bungling the history every night they play the thing. They're bungling the history. So they attempt to approach it as history, but they fail. And they fail, I think, not because they're intent upon bungling history. They fail because they're intent on entertaining people. And the agenda of entertainment has outweighed the agenda of history. So an attempt, which should be commended, but a failed attempt, nonetheless.
You haven't watched the past first one, have you?
Watched a little bit of the second one. You had to twist my arm to get me to do what I did. And it's not because I don't want to talk about the Bible series. It's because anytime something like this is on television, I just have it. It's almost like you take. It's almost like I suddenly. You know how little kids get
when you're in the grocery store and it's taking too long and they start kind of walking around limply and falling on the ground, or the way you feel, Jeff, if you, I don't think you ever have, gone shopping with your wife and she says, wait here a minute while I try on a dress, and suddenly you just got to sit down. You're so weak in the knees, like, I can't take it anymore. That's how I feel when I watch these things. I have to constantly fight the urge to change the channel. I would rather watch anything. I'd rather watch Honey Boo Boo for 10 hours than 1 hour. Why? Because I know they're going to bungle it, because it turns out being kind of sappy, because the real thing is so much better than what you get in these attempts to dramatize the Bible. The Bible resists all attempts to dramatize. When you're done dramatizing the Bible, guess what you have? You have neither the Bible nor good drama.
Well said. Well said. Joanne says, I wish to thank you heartily, she says, for the series on the historic liturgy with Pastor Whedon and for sending all 24 hours of the links to my email box. My pastor got me hooked on Issues, Etc. rather recently, so I missed several of the first ones. I can now listen to all of them and am most grateful to you for presenting this series on this most needed subject. There was so much to learn on something we do in our series each week. I also listen to most of the other subjects that you present. I have been an organist slash music director in various denominations throughout my career in church music. After retirement, I began substituting in a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation and soon realized that After retirement, I began substituting in an LCMS church and soon realized that was there, that was where I belong. Much better written than the way I read it. It's not your writing, Joanne. It's my reading of your writing.
The Edwardsville School Service.
That's right. After subbing for 6 years, I became a member, knowing that it was a liturgical church for which I had been searching. Through my pastor and Issues, Etc., I've learned so much and am most thankful to the Lord for bringing this to this point of my life. Continued blessings to you, Issues, Etc., and Lutheran Public Radio. Thanks for the email, Joanne.
Joanne, thank you very much. That's tremendous to hear that. I always like those words. Someone says hooked on Issues, Etc. And thank your pastor for us, by the way, for introducing you to the program. It's nice to know that that we have pastors who are, you know, telling their lay people that this show is out there and that they can listen to it. And then when they find it, you know, that series with Pastor Will Whedon. Do you know how long we've been doing that series with Pastor Will Whedon on the liturgy? 1 year. That is a record. We got 24 hours out of 1 year of talking with Pastor Will Whedon, in and around other conversations we've had with him on the historic liturgy. It's a landmark. I'm not boasting. I'm talking about the service that Pastor Whedon has done to us and to our listeners in that series. It is a landmark. I can't think of a series that probably would surpass it, not only in length and scope, detail, Christ-centeredness, the expertise that he brought to this. He came so prepared that we ended every hour with him kind of shaking his fist at me because we didn't have more time. So he came so prepared. There's so much more we could have done. But, you know, you try and fit it into 24 hours. You can't unpack all the gifts in 24 hours.
Pastor Tom Baker, who comes on weekly, hosted the Law and Gospel program on the Teaching a Sunday School Lesson. How many years has he been a parish pastor? I mean, decades.
140.
Yeah, something like
much,
that. Like
Methuselah. Looks much younger than he actually is.
I mean, he's just raved over it. I mean, just raved over the series. And if you really enjoy that series, coming up during Holy Week, Pastor Whedon's going to be on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of Holy Week from 4 to 5 Central Time. He'll be talking about the liturgy for Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of Holy Week.
Yeah, you want to see him get worked up on the air over a subject. Just get him on Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, and Vigil of Easter. And look, 3 hours dealing with each one of those, again, there's not enough time on the radio to deal with all of those. Jan is listening in Atlanta, Georgia. Jan, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Pastor. I was listening to, I guess it was Ask the Pastor earlier today, and one of the callers made the point that this History Channel presentation on the Bible is a conversation starter. And I think that's, you know, a really good opportunity for us who are in the Word or are fairly well versed with Scripture. I think about Apollos in Acts, where he's, you know, he's on fire and he's preaching the Gospel of John the Baptizer, and Priscilla and Aquila pull him aside and say, "Yeah, you're really good on that, but you need to know about this Jesus part." And so it's maybe a divine appointment. And I remember one time I talked to Pastor Baker, and I was reading out of my Good News Bible with the Apocrypha. he wasn't happy about that.
I'm sure he wasn't.
Yeah, so, you know, it's really a blessing to have this vehicle and to, you know, really encourage and educate the smartest listeners in radio.
Jan, thank you very much. And Jan's one of them, too. Thanks for listening in Atlanta. This is why when we did our Bible critique that we did for the History Channel's Bible series, we started with a list of positives. Why? Because that's where the conversation can start. And, oh my goodness, I hope that conversation doesn't end the way the Bible series is likely to end. We'll be right back.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida. Silly with commercials, serious with God.
Howdy, folks. Old Gus here. When I'm not out fixing up something with Country Bob's or picking on my banjo with Matt, I saddle up and head on down the trail till I hit the white sandy beaches of Pensacola, Florida. And on Sunday, you can find me at Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church invites you to divine service every Sunday at 8 and 10:30 a.m. Bible classes for all ages at 9:15.
Stay Lutheran, my friends!
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line. Wow, time flies. Another 10 minutes and then an hour or two of the program. Pastor Brandon Scott Jones will join us. We'll do a very important conversation with him on the power of the Lord's Supper. Then we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week.
You know, our local St. Louis listeners will be interested to know that my beloved Edwardsville Tigers are playing in the Final Four of the Illinois Class 4A Boys State Basketball Tournament. Final Four. They play tonight in Peoria.
That's a pretty big deal.
It's a very big deal. It's the largest class in Illinois. Illinois is considered one of the best basketball states in the country, usually top five for sure, top three most of the time. So,
what would be the others, Jeff?
What would be the other states? Probably New York.
Indiana,
yeah. Those would be definitely probably up there. So with the Schwartz family's making a weekend of it. We'll be staying in Peoria. And looking forward to the Tigers. Now, if we win tonight on Friday, we'll play for the state championship against Chicago Simeon, ranked nationally in the country, with two recruits going to the University of Illinois and another starting going to Duke University.
Let me recommend a restaurant, if you don't mind,
sure.
Briefly, if you're in Peoria. On the other side of the river from where you're going to be staying, you'll be staying on the whatever side of the river you're staying on. On the other side of the river from where you are staying, we were there recently for a music competition. We don't do sports in the Wilkin family. We watch them, but we don't do them.
Smart man.
And so we have a lot more time on our hands. Tremendous amounts of time on our hands. My wife and I went out for dinner one evening to Jonah's Fish House. Do you like seafood, Jeff? Do you care about seafood? It was unbelievable. It was great. It's right on the river. Actually, it's on the lake that is north of the river there in Peoria. Jonah's Fish House, I believe, was the name of the place. I was very pleasantly surprised. A little pricey, but it was absolutely delicious. I had their fried oysters, one of my favorites. So if you're there, if you and Beth have a little time, I don't think you can leave your children alone. I wouldn't think about it. Jonah's Fish House, right there on the lake there in Peoria, on the other side of the river from where you're at. Great place to eat.
Can a family of seven afford Jonah's Fish
House? No, you will... You will not be able to afford it, so you're going to have to leave the kids in the van, and just you and Beth. I think you'd swing you and Beth, but you couldn't do the whole family. So,
well, Mom and Dad, Bill and Carol Schroes would be coming, so we have maybe some babysitters that we might be able to turn into a date night.
I'm telling you, if you like seafood, and I don't even think my wife had. I think she had some steak, but it was good. It was good stuff. Great service. It's packed all the time. With a view of the lake. So very nice.
So this weekend, Issues Etc. fans, we're all Edwardsville Tigers. Right?
Wilkin? Yes.
I was looking for an amen.
What do they say? Do they say roar? What do they say in Edwardsville? What's their little call that they make at courtside?
I don't know.
Meow?
I don't know. I could sing the Edwardsville loyalty fight song for you if you'd like, but okay. I don't think we'll do that. Craig is shaking his head because, of course, he went to our rival Collinsville High School.
Right.
The Purple Pride. Hey, we got a call here from David in Kansas City.
All right, let's see what David has to say.
Hey, go Tigers, by the way. And Edwardsville, that is. But no, my commendation is following up on the your handling of the comments about the Newtown situation, Pastor Wilkin, is that I commend you and Jeff and Craig as being kind of my barometer on how to approach, both from an apologetic standpoint as well as, from a purely Lutheran confessional standpoint of handling our synod's issues or discussing, the many, many issues that our synod confronts within itself and with other issues abroad. And because I could recommend you guys and Brothers of John the Steadfast pretty much to everybody.
David, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Kansas City. We just try to do our best. And I just wanted our listeners to understand that the degree to which we have talked about it or the degree to which we haven't talked about it has absolutely nothing to do with any kind of being in Harrison's pocket or something like that. There's none of that going on. We do enjoy his friendship. We do enjoy his goodwill. I've had the opportunity to criticize things he's done. He needs to trim his mustache, okay? I'm just going to lay it out there. He just needs to trim his mustache. So there's a criticism if you want one. But I'll say it again. The way that he handled this, if I were sitting in his shoes, which I would never want to do, but if I were sitting in his shoes, my impulse would have been to handle it the same way and probably handle the whole thing the same way. Would that necessarily be the perfect way to handle it? No. But look, there's no perfect solution to these things. When you got something as nasty, and I use that word with intent, as nasty as the error of syncretism, you have to handle it carefully, especially because so few realize how nasty it is. They think it's good. This is a great example of error being seen as truth. Most people, and we learned it from the press coverage of the Missouri Synod and Pastor Harrison's actions, most people see syncretism, the mixing of Christian religions with non-Christian religions in prayer or worship or whatever the case may be. They see it as a good thing. They see it as great. They think it's we should do more of it. And Scripture says, no, it is it's an error and it's poison to the church and it doesn't aid our witness. It harms our witness. It robs us of a clear witness in the world. So I think that's at the heart of why Pastor Harrison dealt with it. And he said, look, we're just going to do this in a brotherly way.
And if it's and if it's good for outreach, evangelism, and witness, it shouldn't be national tragedies.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Well, I'll tell you what. If mixing Christianity with other world religions is good for witness when people are dying, it should be good for witness when people aren't dying. That's what I wonder. I wonder why the advocates of syncretism, of mixing Christianity with other religions and worship and prayer and public settings, why do they do it so seldom? Why do they only do it when the cameras show up? Why do they only do it when there's a national tragedy? Why aren't they doing it on the 4th of July? Why aren't they doing it today, tomorrow, any other day? If it's good for the witness of the church. If it's, and some in our circles have even said it's necessary for the witness of the church to gather on a stage and pray alongside and with and together with non-Christian religions. It's, they say it's necessary for the witness of the church in a postmodern pluralistic age, then you should be organizing prayer vigils every weekend, shouldn't you? And you should be there. Every weekend you should be there. Not just when people get shot, not just when people die, not just when there are tragedies, not just when the cameras show up. I think that's clear enough. Let's see what David has to say. He's calling from St. Louis, I believe. Hi, David.
Yeah, greetings. Yeah, I had never heard this expression you were using there called syncretism. I'm actually from a family that was a very Romeo and Juliet sort of family, Irish Catholic and Scotch Protestant. And if you know about that, you know, the Scotch were hired as the mercenaries to kill the Irish Catholics. So, you know, for the British to play the one colony against the other. And so my parents didn't want to get involved in any of this kind of infighting about which religion was the best. So they took us over there to Clayton to what's called the Ethical Society, where the common theme, of course, was the Golden Rule. And so when you start talking about syncretism, I've never heard of that, and I'm kind of shocked by the idea that, you know, my training from early Sunday school was that, you know, God looks over all of us, and that the Golden Rule is so prevalent in all of the different religions, but that there were merchants in the temple that were basically playing different religions against each other. And that they just wanted to cash in on keeping people separate and, you know, united you stand, divided you fall. So some of these merchants in the temple were very interested in divided you fall. That was their theme. And so my parents didn't want us to get involved in going to either one of those merchants in the temple, and they wanted us to think for ourselves and to be able to have dignity and you know, be some use to society by helping develop, all of society as a useful place to live. United you stand, divided you fall. And so I'm just kind of shocked at this idea that syncretism, as if that's it's sort of playing us against each other, as if it's some elite club that we can belong to, as opposed to all in the family of God.
David, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. I don't think I could have made the point any better. There is a mindset, and David is one of them, with all due respect, who says, look, syncretism is a good thing. The mixing of the religions, the paring down of religions to basically the Golden Rule, that's a good thing. Don't we all have the Golden Rule in common? Well, we may. But look, I think Dr. John Warwick Montgomery said it best. All world religions might be wrong, but they can't all be right because they're mutually contradictory, not only in their particulars, but in their, especially when it comes to Christianity, in the main point, The main point of Christianity is that there is salvation in no one else except Jesus Christ. That's why Christians ought to avoid mixing with other religions, not in works of good deeds and works and acts of mercy, no, but in worship and prayer. Why? Because it denies the main point of Christianity, that there is salvation in no one else. That's not an elite club. That is Jesus saying all men, there's salvation for all men, everyone, through his suffering, death, and resurrection. But it's the only way of salvation. There is no other way. So, you know, if we can find a way, which we won't, find a way to have Islam affirm that, it will no longer be Islam. If you can find a way for Buddhism to affirm that, it'll no longer be Buddhism. You find a way for the Sikh religion or Mormonism or any of the other world religions out there outside of Christianity to affirm that Jesus is the only way of salvation and there is no other, you know, they wouldn't be the other world religions. They'd be Christianity. But thanks for making my point, David. We'll be back with Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Coming this Easter Sunday, sacred music for the Easter season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, coming Easter Sunday at LutheranPublicRadio.org.